It's 14 minutes before 6, CCO temperature 65. Good morning, Strom.
Good morning. Sensual exercises? Hey. Hello, old-timer.
How you doing?
Well, I'm getting by.
Just remember this.
Uh-oh.
It was windy the other day, and I thought of that old poem, you know, that Robert Frost wrote.
Robert Frost, okay.
Or was it Sam Frost?
Doesn't matter. It was an old poem.
When a man is young and winds are high, he stands in the corner to watch the skirts fly. But when he's my age, you know, kind of old, high winds now just leave me cold.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a lot to live by.
Well, that's what I tell my wife anyway. What's going on there in the world of agriculture?
Agriculture? Well, the corn and beans yesterday, we ended up a little bit higher, especially for new crop beans. Feeling is that Monday's sell-off was a little bit overdone, even though we did get those widespread rains. Been some export business in the corn market with Taiwan and Mexico, some strong rumors of the Soviets back in the market. More talk about the corn acres that didn't get planted in the eastern Corn Belt. On our noon hour farm report yesterday, the president of Pioneer Seed Corn Company was saying that about 2 million acres in the eastern Corn Belt never even got planted this past year, and some of that could end up in beans. July corn ended the day at 262 and three quarters a bushel. That's up a nickel. New crop corn at 244 and a quarter. That's up 3 3/4. July beans, 738 and a half, up 7 1/2. New crop beans at 646, up 12 1/2. Cash market at the grain exchange, ordinary spring wheat at 433 and a half was up a dime. Corn at 265 and three quarters, up a nickel along with the nearby futures. And July beans, cash beans at 720 and a half, up 7 1/2. The oats were on a range of 174 to $2 in the cash market, unchanged to down 3. Top bids at dairy elevators, corn was at 250 and a half, beans at 713. Cattle market was mixed. We had a weaker cash market, also light fed cattle and boxed beef sales on Monday. August cattle at 70.57, a drop of 2. Hogs were lower, traders evening out before the hog and pig report coming out. July hogs at 49.10 closed down 87 points. In the cash market, Iowa Southern Minnesota cattle steady to weak in light test. We did get a steer top of 71.5. Cash hogs steady, although there were instances of 50 lower, the range 47 to 49. South St. Paul had a steer top of 72. And at South St. Paul, they had hogs top at 48, lambs topped at 74. Sioux Falls, steer top of 71 and a quarter, hogs 40 to 52, and their hogs topped at 48 and a half. Sioux City, steer top of 73 and a half, and hogs topped at 48.50. This morning's report brought to you by...
Well, by... it's only right that Canuck should be brought by Canucko.
There I was, halfway across the desert and running low on gas. I was looking for a Conoco station, but at that point, any...
Boone and Erickson on CCO Radio with Jim Kelly, and Jim held forth last night at that draft party.
Well, it was a great night. I mean, Sid was there. Eric Escola came by. Our sports producer, Steve Enke, was there.
All the media stars were there then.
Well, I mean, Don Shelby came by. We had Mark Rosen was there. We had... Clem Haskins was great. Clem stayed for the whole 4 hours of the TV show that we did, which was simulcast. And it was inside the arena, inside the convention center there. And we had the 8 expansion draft players. Rick Mahorn was there and Tyrone Corbin. And then, of course, all the excitement. Pooh Richardson, the number one pick out of UCLA, the 6-foot guard. And then the 7-1 center from Missouri, Gary Leonard. And the number 3 pick, finally, out of Villanova, Doug West. So a lot of excitement last night. 15,000 plus.
Gee, how about that?
And a lot of refreshments provided by Miller Genuine Draft. And it was a great turnout. Harvey Ratner was there. And there's a lot of excitement. It was electric inside the building. It was fun.
Well, now, if you hang on in just a minute, I'm going to let you really lay on all those details about that Twins win last night. My goodness, 2 in a row over division-leading Oakland.
This is a true story. Don't leave home without them.
It is 22 minutes now past 6 o'clock. CCO temperature is 64, the high today 84. It'll be sunny to partly cloudy. Boone and Erickson with Jim Kelly. Oh, that, what was the 6th inning or 5th or 6th when we scored 8 runs? I woke up just in time to hear all that.
Well, they were behind 4-3, but they came up with 8 runs in the 6th. Pinch hitter Jim Dwyer got to, on first on a fielder's choice, took second on a single by Tim Laudner. He scored on a single by John Moses, and then after Al Newman singled to load up the bases, Greg Gagne walked. That forced home Timmy Laudner. Kirby then grounded to third, Carney Lansford, who misplayed the ball for an error as Moses and Newman came around. Then after Gary Gaetti was walked intentionally, Brian Snyder relieved Nelson, and he was greeted by pinch hitter Gene Larkin's two-run double that center fielder Dave Henderson lost in the lights. Kent Herbeck then walked to load up the bases. Wally Bachman walked to force home Gaetti, and Laudner followed with a run-scoring fielder's choice to wrap up the inning and give the Twins that huge 11-4 lead. Then Minnesota opened up the scoring again, and they win it by a score of 11-5. Second win in a row over the Oakland A's, the American League leaders in the West. Kirby Puckett was the hero again last night. He collected three hits, three more, knocked in three more RBIs. And so the Twins now, Roger, have closed to 6.5, right? And they can make it a sweep tonight when Frank 5-8 Viola goes against Dave 12-3 Stewart.
Now, the interesting thing is he has 12 wins and 3 losses, Stewart, but his ERA is up there at 3.60 or something like that, which is high for Oakland. I mean, they have a bunch of pitchers all under 3.
Yeah,
but still, his record is 12-3.
Well, they really need him, the A's do today, to stop the slide, because if the Twins win tonight, which we know they're going to do at the Dome with Viola going, they'll be only 5.5 games in front of the Twins, who are surging.
They sure are.
Playing good ball. Meanwhile, Toronto gets blasted by Baltimore 16-6. Tigers take the Yankees 6-5. Brewers beat Boston 5-4. California nudges Cleveland 2-1. Jack Howell had a home run in the 10th inning there for the Angels. Seattle slugs Kansas City 8-0, and Texas takes the White Sox 5-1. You want the National League?
Real quickly.
5-4, 9-3, 4-2, 7-5, and...
Very good.
Okay. Now, the Timberwolves draft. All right. Surprise selection. Were you surprised at a 6-foot guard there from UCLA, Pooh Richardson?
You hadn't mentioned his name when we were talking yesterday, so I think
Hammonds from Georgia Tech was taken on the round right before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody thought he was taken by the Washington Bullets. Randy White was taken by the Mavericks. McLeod by the Pacers. Stacey King from the Bulls. J.R. Reed goes to the Hornets. Glenn Rice from the Heat. Sean Elliott to the Spurs. Danny Ferry to the Clippers. And Purvis Ellison to the Kings, working backwards. So the number 10 selection. Now, the big surprise, I think, at that point, we'll talk to Sid about it in 20 minutes, was that Nick Anderson, right, from Illinois, a Big Ten guy with whom we're all familiar,
mm-hmm.
and a big man, was not taken as the number one pick. But the Timberwolves were really high. I mean, Musselman really likes Richardson. He likes his shooting ability. He thinks he's a pretty good little floor leader and can be a good backcourt general.
And Clem Haskins likes him, doesn't he?
Yep. But I think Clem, and he was pretty honest about it on the telecast that we did last night from the convention center, I think he was kind of leaning toward Anderson. I mean, he likes Richardson, but he really
Anderson, I imagine everybody in the room expected Anderson.
Yep.
He was available.
Big surprise was Sean Kemp. He enrolled at Kentucky last year, but was Prop 48. He later transferred to Trinity, but did not play. And he was probably the biggest surprise of the first round. And then the third pick for the Timberwolves was a 6'6 guy from Villanova, Doug West, who can really play. And he might be a sleeper. He's a big surprise. So, all the excitement of the draft yesterday at the convention center.
Very good, sir. It's 26 minutes past 6. CCO temperature is 64. High today, 84. Sunny to partly cloudy.
The beef industry presents a short course.
It is almost 6:30. CCO temperature is 64. The high today in the Twin Cities will be 84. It'll be partly cloudy. Twins win last night, 11-5. And California wins. Kansas City loses. Huh? Is that the way it was, Kelly?
Yeah, California 2-1, and then Seattle blanks KC 8-0.
And Texas beat Chicago 5-1.
And except February, which has 28.
Eric arrived last night at the convention center, right?
Mm-hmm.
His dapper self.
Yeah.
Sport coat.
Right.
You know, his trim down. And he arrives with Sid, who has like 2 plates of chicken wings and pizza, right?
And he brought it from, I don't even think he got it. He had it like in the car and brought it in. He had amazing amount of food.
That's Sydney. And this is Eric.
Officials in Minneapolis believe changes in welfare payments may be having the desired effect of attracting fewer transients to the metro area. One of the changes requires welfare recipients to collect weekly welfare payments rather than the full $203 paid once a month. The other change provides a voucher for food and shelter for the first month rather than a cash payment. A free bus ticket is provided by Hennepin County for transients who don't like the changes. A $3.5 million bond issue for construction of a new municipal building in Robbinsdale was rejected by the voters. The building for police, fire, and city offices under one roof would have replaced the current situation where City Hall is separated from police and fire offices by about a half a mile. Vandals damaged a bird box on Cedar Lake during the weekend, hurting efforts to bring back rare eastern bluebirds to the metro area. Two eggs and a fledgling were destroyed when the bird box was thrown to the ground. The eggs and fledgling represented the first mating of eastern bluebirds in the city in more than 40 years. Mediated contract talks are scheduled later today in the dispute between the MTC and some 2,000 union employees. The workers, members of Locals 1005 of the Amalgamated Transit Union, have scheduled a strike for July 5th. This afternoon's session is the first meeting of the two sides since the workers rejected MTC's final contract offer on Monday. The workers yesterday told State Transportation Commissioner Len Levine they're upset with some newspaper ads taken out by the MTC. Levine plans to meet with the Transit Commission officials today. Deportation proceedings against an Iranian student are proceeding by federal immigration officials. 31-year-old Muhammad Ali Shageft pleaded guilty in April to arranging a fraudulent marriage to get an American woman in an apparent attempt to remain in the United States. Shageft's supporters at Southwest State University in Marshall say he faces an uncertain future if he is deported back to Iran. The president of WCCO Radio and Television's parent company says he'll take over as acting general manager of the television station. James Rupp temporarily replaces Ron Hanberg, the TV general manager who's retiring after 30 years with the organization. Rupp says one of his first jobs is to dispel any notion that recent resignations will diminish the television station's commitment to news. WCCO Radio News Time, 6:33. And Kelly and Erickson back on the radio.
All right, Eric Escala, you were there with Kelly last night at the draft headquarters.
Now, I had on a sport coat and a tie. Kelly had on this, like, Timberwolves leisure suit. It was beautiful.
That was their that's their warm-up jacket.
Boy, it's attractive. You know, you wouldn't think that green and blue would go together, but they make it work.
Didn't they do a great job at the convention center? I mean, with all the balloons and the Timberwolves memorabilia, the souvenirs, and
they had the
whole setup. And the crowd, I mean, it was an event. You were part of history there last night.
What was there, 12,000, 13,000 people there?
I think that we won't tell the fire marshal, but I think it was over 14,000. I mean, there's some people that got in late.
Yeah.
And,
it was packed. I mean, it was fun.
I mean, they had Miller Genuine Draft beer, and they had pizza and popcorn, and I mean, it was a real festive atmosphere. And I was amazed at how into the other drafts selections. I mean, they had big screens set up, and they would cut into New York for the other picks. But, I mean, thousands would press up to those big screens and ooh and ah and groan and boo and cheer when the other players were picked for other teams. So, I mean, there were some real draftniks that were down there, Eric among them.
And then I went down after the first pick, after I had never heard of the first draft pick, I went down to the baseball game and saw...
Find some familiar names.
Yeah, and Oakland played, though, Portland. It was great. They're walking guys, making errors. They can't find the ball in the ceiling. And the Twins, it was your rare basketball draft baseball doubleheader last night for me. It was terrific.
Were you not enamored with Pooh Richardson?
I got great respect for Billy McKinney, so I assume he's going to be a top-flight player. But I'm no big, great college basketball fan, so I'd never heard of the guy. But this is not to say he's not a fine player. I'm sure he is, but I never heard of him.
You know what I'm worried about, Pooh Richardson. I think that his nickname was turned around. It used to be Hoop for basketball.
Ah.
And then when he started going bad, they changed it.
Pooh. Got it.
It's weather time now on CCO Radio. Meteorologist Bill Enderson.
Well, guys, we'll heat up quickly today beneath the late June sun, but do look for some thunderstorms to fire up by tomorrow. In detail for the Twin Cities, a sunny to partly cloudy day, high about 84. Yesterday's high was 82, so we will be just barely warmer than yesterday. Winds east-southeast, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy. We have a chance of showers and thunderstorms developing tonight and a little better chance of thunderstorms tomorrow. Low tomorrow morning should be about 63 and the afternoon high about 83. Right now, the new readings just came in. Mostly clear sky, a few cirrus clouds. Winds are calm, humidity 63%, dew point 53, temperature 66.
It's the final days.
With the local and regional report now, here's WCCO Radio's Eric Escala.
Mediated contract negotiations resume this afternoon in the dispute between the MTC and its 2,000 union bus drivers, mechanics, and office workers. The workers have threatened to walk off the job a week from today. Some people on the streets of Minneapolis already are concerned about a possible bus strike.
If they quit running, I'm out of work for 25 days or however long it lasts.
Are you really? You depend so...
over 5 miles from my work, and I'll be damned if I'm walking. Uh-huh. And I don't drive or have any friends that drive. So if they're striking, I got to find another job.
I think it's going to be pretty chaotic if that has a problem. I mean, they said that there was about 50% of the people that come downtown use the bus. So I don't know what the parking is like down here, but I'm sure it's not going to be very good.
Well, I think they should get their raise, what they're asking for. I think they work hard enough. That's what I think. But there's another thing I think about, that if they do get their raise that they're asking for, the fares will go up.
This afternoon's session with state mediator Peter Obermeyer is the first meeting of the two sides since the workers rejected the MTC's final contract offer on Monday. State Transportation Commissioner Len Levine, who met with union officials yesterday, plans to meet with the MTC this morning. Meanwhile, the Department of Transportation is making contingency plans to deal with a bus strike, if one is called. Nearly 3,000 new parking spaces have been located in downtown Minneapolis to cope with the additional cars that would have to be used during the rush hours, but DOT spokeswoman Lucinda Lamont says that won't be enough to solve the congestion problem, and she says the state's rideshare program is available to create new car and van pools if there is a bus strike.
Rideshare is available to everyone. It's 349 Ride, and what they do is they match people up with those people who have cars that are already traveling in that direction and have called rideshare to cooperate. It really is a grassroots sort of thing, though. I mean, people have to call in and say, I'm going to downtown Minneapolis and I have room in my car for two other people, and I'm coming from Burnsville. Without that, they don't have anybody to match up.
Number again for rideshare is 349-RIDE, R-I-D-E. It appears fewer and fewer transients are spending much time in Minneapolis. Officials think it's due to changes in welfare requirements designed to discourage transients from coming to Minneapolis to collect $203 in monthly general assistance payments. One of the changes requires welfare recipients to collect smaller payments each week rather than the full amount once a month. The other change provides a voucher for food and shelter for the first 30 days rather than a cash payment. Transients who don't like the voucher system can leave town with a bus ticket paid for by the county. On the news line this morning, Hennepin County Commissioner Randy Johnson, who's been involved with the welfare reform and this transient issue for a long time. Commissioner, why do you think this is working?
Well, Eric, I think that people came to Minneapolis, thought that they could get some instant cash here, and word is out now that that's no longer the case. We'll take care of people's needs, but we're no longer the instant cash machine that we used to be.
You know, the conventional wisdom is that July is a big transient month in Minneapolis. Do you think that this program is going to survive the July test?
Well, the peak month and the peak week we actually see for people coming in and applying for general assistance and shelter is the same week as the Aquitania. That'll be the real test. We went through the Memorial Day week. That's the other peak time, and we actually saw a decrease compared to last year.
Now, how does this square with Minnesota's admirable and traditional reputation for compassion?
I think very well. We're taking care of people in need. We're taking care of their actual needs. When people come here from elsewhere, we're still providing food and shelter, but we're providing food and shelter through vouchers rather than through cash. So I think that it squares entirely with our good traditions here in Minnesota.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Eric.
Hennepin County Commissioner Randy Johnson. Tomorrow's expected to be a WCCO Radio News Time 722, back with weather and Mark Rosen Sports after this.
I-23rd, 1989.
Sunny to partly cloudy today, a high of 84. Right now we have 66 degrees.
Sports Time this morning is brought to you by Sherwin-Williams.
Okay, so the Timberwolves have a draft and the Twins win a big ball game, but the big news was that we saw each other face-to-face, Roseman.
It was amazing. I stopped in my tracks last night, Mr. Escala.
That was fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was a very, very exciting environment last night at both, obviously, the Metrodome and over over at, I guess you could describe it as Harvey Ratner, one of the owners of the Timberwolves, described it as the biggest non-event in Minnesota, the draft party, in a sense, and he could not believe the turnout.
Oh, it's terrific. There is pent-up demand for pro basketball. Well, now, and they've sort of let the second guessers in the door, and they're going to have a lot of good coffee shop conversation this morning.
It's wonderful.
Pooh Richardson. Who is he, and how good is he?
All right, here's the deal. All right, my sources, as they say, tell me that at one point Musselman was in favor of taking Nick Anderson, the forward, for the 10th pick, and that McKinney obviously wanted Pooh Richardson. But in my discussions with Bill Musselman, a very exhausted Bill Musselman, he was too tired to be anything but candid. He's definitely saying that Pooh Richardson was the best point guard that they saw. Better than Tim Hardaway, better than Mookie Blaylock, better than B.J. Armstrong, and that Pooh Richardson at UCLA was not exactly surrounded by a lot of talent the last couple of years. That he really is, when you say a point guard, the guy that really is going to run the Timberwolf offense at some point in his career, hopefully sooner than later. That he's going to be able to set up his teammates as an excellent three-point shooter, and that he had the characteristics, the qualities that they were looking for to run their offense. They say point guard and center are the two toughest positions to fill, and they feel that Richardson's the guy for them.
Gary Leonard, a big load underneath, and then Doug West, kind of a taller guard, would you say?
Yeah, Gary Leonard's an interesting pick because a lot of people, at least earlier in the year, felt he might be a first-round selection. And Gary Leonard at 7'1", 240, Musselman again was commenting on him last night. He says, I can't believe how much talent this guy has for a big man. You don't find guys like that. He says, quite honestly, I think he has the right coach, though, too. I mean, he's going to push Leonard. Leonard's the rap on Leonard is that the work habits aren't necessarily there every night. But and West might be the sleeper. I heard Jim Kelly talking earlier. He saw him play a number of times, and West is a big guard. He's a 6'6 guard, so he could help out. Although second-round draft choices, quite honestly, are long shots to really even make it for a year or two in the NBA.
Just one other quick question on the Timberwolves. Now what, Mark? Do they look for guys like Brett McNeil or somebody that didn't get drafted? And
absolutely.
How do they put together the rest of the roster now?
Well, they're going to take a hard look at the free agents, the players who are not selected. The NBA draft consists of just two rounds, so there are a lot of players that they've had their eye on and traveled all those 240,000 miles to see that they're going to look after. And they got their other camp. You know, the Jim Thomas from Indiana has been impressive. They have the unrestricted free agents. You might see a Trent Tucker or Tony Campbell coming to the team. And, you know, this is just the next big step in filling the roster. It's hardly the last step, so it's going to take some more time.
Now, down the street from the convention center at the Metrodome last night, the Oakland A's were putting on a performance unbefitting a defending American League champion. Walks, errors, all kinds of hijinks. And the Twins are playing, I think, their best ball of the season at a very good time.
Well, that's certainly what Kirby Puckett echoed those words. Of course, Kirby Puckett's been a one-man wrecking crew the last couple of nights for the Minnesota Twins. And the Oakland A's were not playing great ball when the Twins scored 8 runs that inning, but not many people are feeling sorry for them this morning. They have some chinks in their armor. It's been amazing to see how well the Oakland A's have played through all their injuries from day one of the season. Maybe they're just slowing down a little bit right now, but it's encouraging to see the Twins only 6.5 back. That's the closest they've been in 2 months. And what a matchup tonight to finish this series. Frank Viola against Dave Stewart. They had 37,000 last night. They may sell the joint out or come close to it tonight.
Mike Dyer, is he going to come up from the minor leagues?
Yeah, they're talking about that. He's had that blister problem. They may pitch by the end of the week. Of course, Greg Olson was called up, a couple other names being bandied about. But it's just nice to see Herbig back in the lineup and Puckett. What is he, 6-for-9 right now in the last 2 nights?
And Al Newman getting some hits at the top of the order.
Well, what a year Al Newman has had. I mean, most improved player, absolutely.
Yeah. And we're going to do a whole sports cast here with no mention of from the Cincinnati Reds.
I'm happy about that.
Mark Rosen on CCO.
It is 2.5 minutes before 6 o'clock. 65 degrees, yes, Minnesota. Twins do win last night. 2-0. Man, that was a beautiful sweep.
Very important sweep.
Yes, indeed.
5.5 games back now. California coming in. More bad news, of course, for Pete Rose. More betting revelations. Of course, the worst part is not the fact that he may or may not have bet on baseball games in his own team, but he took his winnings and stored it in savings and loans.
Oh, no, the poor guy. So, anyway, Kelly, what are you going to be doing today? I see you have your little handy bag there. You must be heading for an airline.
I'm leaving. I'm flying on Steve Rothmeyer's airline. I'm in seat 3A, and I'm flying to New York City on flight 402 this morning, Northwest flight 402.
Yeah.
All of my friends over there. Regina,
okay, be ready, 402, for Kelly.
Thomas. And
he's wearing a Timberwolves jacket. You can't miss him.
That's right. Well, it's ironic that Charlie put that in the paper.
Yes.
Bob Stein called last night to say that he thought I did a very good job emceeing the thing, and Tim Leiwicki called, so the phones were ringing. But I've never met Kevin Hart.
Is that the television broadcast? Because I never watch television, so that'll...
I don't know what they have in mind. Okay. I just went down and emceed the Miller Genuine Draft.
I just like the inside stuff, that's all.
Kevin Harlan's a young man that used to listen to us on CBS Radio in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I've never met Kevin, so I don't know if
they... You were his hero.
...signed him up or not. Huh? That's what Kevin told Tim Leiwick.
Is that right?
Yeah.
In the news, the head of the bus drivers union at MTC says he still believes there will be a bus strike next week. Arnie Ensel of the Amalgamated Transit Union Local 1005 emerged from a round of mediated contract talks, accusing the MTC of a continued desire to get concessions from the union. We can't do that again, said Ensel. The drivers, mechanics, and office workers. It's 18 minutes past 6. 65 degrees high today, will be 85 sunny. Slight chance of a thunderstorm. On this day in history, history was changed on June 29th in 1767 when the British Parliament levied a tax on tea in the American colonies. And, of course, that led to our revolt. Otherwise, who knows? Today, Margaret Thatcher might have George Bush's job. Think of that. Joseph Handsome. What did he invent? Handsome.
Joseph Handsome?
Mm-hmm.
The handsome carriage.
You're right. The Handsome Cab, first taxi.
Right.
Horse-drawn, they're still around in New York.
They are. You get $2.05 per eighth of a mile.
Is that right? Elizabeth Barrett Browning died on this day in 1861. You know, in school, I was great with blank verse. English teacher would ask me to do a verse in my mind and go blank. William Mayo was born in 1861 on this day.
I know, he invented mayonnaise.
That's right. He invented Rochester. No. Hey, where was he born?
William Mayo.
Everybody thinks he was born in Rochester. I bet you were going to say he's going to born.
Was he born in Minnesota?
Yes, he was.
He was born in Lake Nisswa.
Yeah, very good. Good try, but wrong end of the state. He was born in Le Sueur.
That was my next guess.
After every operation, ho ho ho. No, I don't. Anyway, he's a Le Sueur kid.
Don't we have any birthdays today?
Birthdays, yes. Well, you want to, here we go. Here we go. Wait a minute. You want to get tested on the birthdays?
Well.
29th, Gary Busey.
The actor.
Yeah.
Who almost self-destructed riding a motorcycle without a helmet.
Said he's still not going to wear a helmet.
All right. He's 14.
Yeah, now his biological age.
He's 32.
45.
He is?
Can you believe that?
45. He's still in all those teenage werewolf movies.
Slim Pickens, birthday today. Slim Pickens. Born Louis Burt Lindley Jr.
He was great in Doctor Strangelove.
That's right. That was one of his big movies.
Riding that missile.
How old?
84.
Well, it would seem like it, but he's only 70.
Slim, slow down.
Yeah. Fred Grandy, now an Iowa congressman, Love Boat star. Fred
Who
Grandy.
Will not appear in the sequel. Everybody else is coming back.
Really?
All right. Lauren Toes, little bubblehead that was running around the decks all the time.
Yeah.
She's coming back, and the bartender.
But he won't because he's a politician now, and he...
I guess.
He will.
Okay. Fred Grandy would be 39.
He's 30, 41. That's very good. Former twin slugger Harmon Killebrew's birthday today.
56.
53. I didn't think he'd be that old, 53.
Well, you didn't think Slim Pickens would be in his 70s either.
You know, Harmon was prematurely bald when he was, during his play days, he always kept that cap on because Jim Erickson, our engineer, was bald as a child. You understand that? His last 2 days at work.
Today and tomorrow?
Today and tomorrow. 21 past 6, CCO temperature 65. Mr. Kelly, it's your job now to talk with Mr. Hartman. I know
Sydney?
It's a challenge.
Mr. Kelly, how are you?
I'm fine. We have to mention that Emerson Fittipaldi survived a bump at 200 miles an hour to win some race because Dean's screaming. I guess it was the Detroit Grand Prix. Anyway, aside from that.
Dean screams anyway.
I know. Anyway, Viola, who has not had a complete game in 2 months, takes this 6-3 lead into the ninth. Now, should we be concerned that Frankie is not throwing complete games?
Well, he's not throwing complete games. I think, like Kelly says, it was asking too much to ask a guy to have another year like he had last year when everything went right. But
he was asking for the money.
Yeah, well, they all ask for the money. They never give any back. I'm waiting for some player to say, well, you signed me to a great contract on a basis of what I did last year. I had a lousy year this year. I give it 20% back.
I'll tell you a quick story that Hank Stram likes to tell when he was coach and general manager of the Chiefs about players negotiating contracts, asking for money, giving money back. Player as fullback had just gotten a raise the previous year to $150,000. He comes in after the end of the year and he says, Coach, I'd like $180,000 next year. And he said, well, Robert, we just gave you a raise last year and you had a terrible year this year. Your statistics are way down. What makes you think you deserve a raise of $30,000 to $180,000? He says, Coach, it just sounds good.
A better story, not a better story, but a story there with Leon Wagner. Remember he played for the Giants?
Sure.
Horst Stone used to tell the story about how he'd come in every year and want an advance. He'd always want a big part of his salary, you know, for next year. And finally, Stone had to say, there's no advance. You're gone.
Hey, what kind of a draft? Evaluate the North Stars draft. Now, they take a hockey player on the last round who's going to be 38 years of age out of the Soviet Union.
Well, I think they did that for PR. They think they got a chance to get him. I was disappointed that they didn't take Tommy Nevers and another couple kids at Pittsburgh.
WCCO News time is 7:17, 65 degrees. The morning news continues. I'm Bill Polish, sitting in for Eric Escala. Lightning struck a few Twin Cities area homes during electrical storms last night, but there were no serious injuries reported. One strike caused a roof fire in New Hope. Nobody was home at the time there. Other hits reported in Eden Prairie and Spring Lake Park. Thunderstorms rolled through the region during the night. An undercover St. Paul policewoman has apprehended a 45-year-old man on charges of indecent exposure. The suspect identified as Douglas Grafsky. Officer Constance Bailey posed as a transit rider in a bus shelter in an area where there had been some complaints. And on the fifth day of the operation, a man sat down next to her, asked for the time, and then apparently exposed himself. Bailey identified herself as a police officer. The man ran, but Bailey and another officer chased him down. Wisconsin officials say after extensive testing, there are no signs.
22 after 9 and 72 going for 92. It's going to be warm today. Dave Nimmer is changing direction from the newspapers to the electronic media channel 4, where he spent how many years, Dave?
Ten years and a half.
And now to St. Thomas, to the campus teaching students about the business he's in. How did you happen to go from newspapering to the electronic media?
The year was 1978, and I was a managing editor of the Star. In slightly over my head.
Because that's a big change.
Oh, it was. In that year, the Star decided that they were going to hire a new editor. Guy was going to be my boss, and they hired a man by the name of Steve Isaacs from the Washington Post.
Whatever happened to him?
As far as I know, he's unemployed. He left here in 1981 or two after the Star folded to go to Washington, D.C. He came in town, Charlie, essentially to say that the newspaper was stodgy and too traditional, wedded to what he called inside baseball. Said what he wanted to deliver to the Minneapolis Star was a Time magazine every day on your doorstep, one that would march to its own drumbeat. I've heard that word before.
Yeah, he did stir it up, though.
Oh, he did. I remember we had a shark bite story stripped over the top of page one day. And we weren't covering City Hall anymore, and then I was clearly in over my head. I said, I have no idea where he wants to take this newspaper. I better pack it and stow it. So I called Hanberg, and I said, I'm available.
Mark is back. How you doing, Marky?
I'm doing fine, Rog and Charlie. Feeling great.
Welcome back, Mark Rosen.
Thank you. Sid, how you doing?
Doing all right.
All right. Let's talk. A few other things have been going on since last couple of weeks. A couple of drafts, of course, been happening with the Timberwolves. And the North Stars, and let's start with the Twins just from yesterday. And I think Jeff Reardon should probably stay away from Milwaukee. The Brewers have really had his number in the last couple of years. His ERA is over 11 against him, and that does happen because Reardon has been pitching great ball, and some players just don't pitch well or play well against certain teams, and Reardon certainly is the case against Milwaukee.
Well, they seem to have his number. Yesterday, with one runner on base, Tom Kelly took Frank Viola out. I was surprised he actually let Frank start the inning, but he did. He wanted him to get a complete game. And then the Brewers proceeded to score three runs, tie the game, and unfortunately for the Twins, in the last of the ninth, Mr. Gaetti hit a two-run home run, his second home run of the game. They won the game, but I think in the future maybe Mr. Kelly will keep Mr. Reardon out of the lineup when Milwaukee comes to town.
Well, Kelly said that he took Viola out because Frank looked like he had kind of lost his composure out there. Frank said, well, maybe I did, but I feel I could have regained it just as quickly, but those are decisions that obviously Tom Kelly has to make. But the good thing was for the Twins that Gaetti came through with the big two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth inning. to win it. It's always entertaining. The Brewers and Twins put on a great show. You can say that night after night. Every time these two collide on the ball field, they have a great entertaining show for the fans if they stuck around in the ninth inning.
Now, Milwaukee's killed them this year. They won five in a row and then won another one here, and then now the Twins have won two straight. They play them tonight. The Twins could have swept those Milwaukee games and not lost those Texas games that they lost when they got swept. It'd be a different situation. But even so, they're nine games behind. Oakland seems to be losing a few games now.